Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text today is Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. The Reverend Dr. Steve Hokana is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The word of God appointed for us this morning is recorded in the third chapter of Romans, beginning at the 19th verse. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law or works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. O Lord, have mercy on us. Repeat again the basis for today's meditation. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law or works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This great passage from Holy Scripture tells us that we share sin. We fall under this devastating consequences and brutality of the law, and we share in God's magnificent grace. Well, it happened to me the other day. It's not that I don't like it, it's just that I'm not really sure how to respond. If this does not happen to you, count your blessings. I was mistaken for someone else. That's not unusual, at least for me. I've been the subject of being a look-alike, kind of a phlegmatic doppelganger since I have entered church work, from vicarage to parish ministry to military chaplaincy, and even here at the IC, I've been mistaken for someone else. At a shoe store, a customer thought I was the manager. At a pastor's conference, a colleague asked when I left his circuit, mistaking me for someone else whose circuit I've never been. One instance occurred here at the International Center, right here in the chapel. I was not even here a week. I sat down. There's no one here. I was taught to get to church at least 15 minutes early, so there was no one here. A man came in and sat down right in front of me. There's no one here, but he sat down in front of me. The chapel was pretty empty. He turned and extended his hand. He then wanted to know my thoughts on various ecclesiological practices. My thoughts on matters relating to circuit visitors. And then something about the Council of Presidents. And he congratulated me on my recent election. Now, I thought that was an odd choice. I prefer the word called to the IC rather than elected to the IC. And my installation was not yet for two more days. He wanted to talk further, but then chapel was starting up, and I asked him if he wants to give me a call at my office, and I was about to give him a card, and he confidently told me that he had my number. Later, I thought about the conversation, and I realized he thought I was a district president. I suppose it's one thing to be mistaken for someone to have their resemblance, but what's it like for a manager of a shoe store, another LCMS pastor who I never met, a district president to be mistaken for me. I feel sorry for them. In Romans 3, Paul tells us that we have a resemblance. We all share in something. Yes, we are all alike. We are sinners. We're all under the terrible, horrible curse of the law. We're all destined for death. We are not necessarily those that look alike, but we are alike nonetheless. In Romans chapter 6:23, we read, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This similarity of fallenness is terrible, destructive, leads to eternal death with no hope, no promise, death, and eternal punishment. Paul illustrates in Romans 3, there is another similarity. We want in some way to make things right with God. Left to our own devices, we seek to find ways to appease God. In some way to have God turn his wrath aside. If we can find out what God wants, maybe perhaps meet God halfway. Yes, that would put the matter of our condemnation and censure aside. In the army, there's a popular phrase heard time and time again, the good idea fairy. This is when bad advice and ideas enter the ears of leadership, causing hundreds of unnecessary changes and countless wasted hours. And here's an example. These are people talking in a command group. I know we were told we would have the weekend off, but the commander says we need to provide a 24-hour guard over the weekend for the empty tents out on Training Area 17, an isolated plot of ground surrounded by razor wire, miles from a populated area. And then here it comes. He must have been visited by the good idea fairy. How often we, intentionally or unintentionally, bring the good idea fairy to our salvation. Jesus, I got this one. I can do this. Or, Lord, I can cooperate with you. I can meet you halfway. Lord, I can do it better than you. Let me do this. Good idea fairy, useless and worthless. And it's insanity to create some plot or theme or invent a way to appease God. His wrath is well deserved against humanity, against all of us, children of the same parents of a fallen humanity. Our resemblance under the law, if you will. Paul tells us living under the law is horrible. It lays bare our sin, our very nature. The law indicts with pinpoint accuracy, convicts with ferocity, and persecutes with dreadful aggressiveness. The law always accuses, always convicts, always shows the horribleness of our sin-sickened condition. This is how Luther describes the law and the gospel. The law is divine and holy. Let the law have its glory, but yet no law, be it never so divine and holy, ought to teach me that I am justified and shall live through it. I grant it may teach me that I ought to love God and my neighbor, also to live in love, soberness, patience, etc., but it ought not to show me how I should be delivered from sin, the devil, death, and hell. Here I must take counsel with the gospel. I must hearken to the gospel, which teaches me not what I ought to do, but what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has done for me, that he suffered and died to deliver me from sin and death. The gospel wills me to receive this and to believe it. And this is the truth of the gospel. And as we share the pain of the law, as relationships in this fallen world tumble and lives devastated by sin, there really is no other place to turn. No other place to run but towards the cross. The depth of sinful humanity is such that blood sacrifice is necessary for redemption. Not a dove, not a lamb, but blood nonetheless. A propitiation is required. In verse 24 and 25 of the third chapter, Paul writes, "Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith." forgiveness of sins, atonement by Jesus' death on a cross. This is a mystery rich in heavenly grace to sinners. Luther goes on to describe it like this: wherein by a wonderful exchange, our sins are no longer ours, but Christ's. And the righteousness of Christ is not Christ's, but ours. He's emptied himself for his righteousness, that he might clothe us with it and fill us with it. And he has taken our evils upon himself, that he might deliver us from them. Learn Christ and him crucified. So says Martin Luther. Do you now see your resemblance? You look like someone else, but you're also transformed. But there's no confusion that as redeemed children of God in Christ, our sanctification, we're starting to look alike, to look like the Lord Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, we read, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren." You may have been mistaken for someone else. You carry sinner with you, but you also carry one who is justified. You do have a sense of familiarity. As baptized children of God, you carry the image of conforming to Jesus. And we ask this in his holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Hannah Scholl, who serves the Lord in Taiwan. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.